Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how very grateful I am you chose to be with me on this 26th day of October 2019. And we're going to look at one of our favorite things to do in this world. Eating. Let's see. Watching TV. Let's see. What else is one of the most favorite things? Oh, yeah. This one. Hating. We're going to look at hate, what it means, and how we deal with it. But before we do, I want to remind you that we're in our fundraising drive here, and we want to be able to sustain our radio program and make it possible for you and everyone else to listen to it. We get a lot of nice email, but people kind of take this all for granted, and they think, you know, somebody else will do it, but that never happens. So I hope that you will consider being a sponsor or making at least a donation. Our mystery donor, who has been very generous and helped us this year in so many, many ways, will match your donations dollar for dollar. Yep, dollar for dollar, whether you become a sponsor, which would really be helpful, or you make a donation, whatever works for you, whatever you enjoy. So become a sponsor. Help us. With your sponsorship, you get so many gifts. You get the message of the month each and every month. You can download it, or I can send it to you and CD form. You get access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries, which are very, very important if you're working on yourself, if you're really thinking about working on your inner life and awakening, if that is something that is important to you. You get access to all of my TV discourses that are on the website at aspire.org. Every one of them, from the heart of the Tao, you know, way, way, way back, to Nobody Likes You Anyway, and onward to The Sound of One Hand Clapping. There's so many things that I offer to you. And these are powerful discourses. They're TV programs you can go on the website and look at for absolutely free. Just enjoy a time where you can listen to all of the major things that are very contemporary, even today, that I talked about years ago on our Emmy-winning and Telly-winning programs. So I hope that you will take a look, a gander. There's a lot on the Aspire website to help you. And if you're the type of person that is interested in awakening, there it is. Okay? So I hope you'll do it today. Go to the website at aspire.org. There on the main page there is the year-end thing. There's a little story there for you and everything, and I think you'll enjoy it. And become a sponsor. Do something extraordinary. Hate. Feeling intense or passionate dislike for someone. That's the definition of it. Intense or passionate dislike. Where does this hate come from? What is this hate all about? So let's get into the questions. I really admire these people. They want to know the origins of their hate. So let's take a look at it. This one comes from Stan in San Diego. He talks about how he watches Aspire way back and is still watching it on the website. And Stan, I'm very grateful you do. Excuse me. Frankly, he says, though I know it's wrong, I find it very easy to hate. Why? Well, Stan, there are a lot of reasons why, but the major reason is in chemicals. Your propensity probably for your DNA. And looking at anything that seems to go against whatever it is that helps you survive. The reason a lot of us hate, it's a chemical thing that we started when we were little, babus. And we went into, let's say, our family, and they started hating this and that. And there was prejudice that was born in our families. People who thought that they knew what was right over wrong and good over bad. And then all sorts of things started to happen. And typically people miss. They miss what it is to have a meaningful life. And they hate this and like that. And Jesus said it so beautifully. You cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. And no man can serve two masters, he said. And we try to. We try to serve both hate and love. Hate is a defensive mechanism. If you read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky, you will learn so much about your emotions, about what it means to be emotional, why we're emotional. If you notice in here, the word in the definition, feel intense or passionate dislike. This word passion is a real problem with us, because a lot of it has to do with how our chemicals in our brain and how our synapses fire off in our brain, and how it all kind of comes together to make us feel as though anyone or anything that is against whatever we have come to morally, whatever we have thought of as this is a moral thing, this is the right thing, this is the good thing, anything that goes against that, we hate. Anything that offers discomfort to our physical bodies, our psychology, we hate. So there is a lot of stuff going on within us that is very, very painful. We don't know it's there. We don't understand it. We just know that there is what we think of as love and hate. Frankly speaking, there's more hate in there than ever would there be love, because love is unconditional. And this condition of the unconditional, as I call it, which is love, is very different from anything you have ever experienced in your life. Stan, love is a very conditional thing, but it offers the unconditional. And if you understand what that all means, you can understand what your hate might be like, or where it comes from, or why. You say, even though you know what's wrong, you hate. Why? Because it's biological. It's physiological. It is psychological. And we have trained ourselves to be on the what we think of as the moral high ground. And we are hate mongers. This is the only way we know anything from right, from wrong, from good, from bad in this world, is we have to look at it from the point of view of what we hate. We don't look at things from the spiritual aspect. We don't even understand it. We are not even interested in it in this plateau, this part of the universe. We are not interested in love at all. It doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is comfort. What matters to us is power, human prowess. What matters to us is something called security, and that always boils down to money. And we want to be important, and being important is a very, very, very urgent need in us. Anything that threatens that urgency of being important or not important, or good or bad or right or wrong, is going to hit that genetic button, and it's going to turn on all sorts of strategic information of how to survive. And one of the ways to survive is emotionally. But what really happens is when we do this emotional survival, we start to find that we're doing things that are counter to love itself, our heart, the meaning of our heart. Frankly speaking, as you say, you know it's wrong, but you do it anyway. It's involuntary. You can't change it. And Stan, here's what I want you to understand. This isn't going to go away. This hate thing isn't going to go away. You're going to feel hate for the rest of your life. It's already kind of wired into your human body. And if you live from your biology, if you take the cues of your life from your biology, then this biology is going to rule your life and you're going to be at the whims of your human body. It's emotional premise, it's emotionality, it's emotional DNA, it's emotional genetics. You're going to, it won't be your life. It'll be the life of your biology. It'll be the life of your chronology, of your genetics, and all the people that live inside you. There are legions of human beings that live inside of each and every one of us. We don't want to see it. We don't want to acknowledge it. We may not even believe in it, but what does it matter? This is the way it is. So you have to decide what kind of lifetime you want in this world. I can't do that, of course, for you. But you have to decide, what kind of lifetime is this going to be? Is it going to be one that is reactive? Or is it going to be one that is, shall we say, in essence, spiritual? What are you going to do? It's your choice. Most people go to hate and try to figure out how to live from that and call it macaroni. And that's sad. Hope that helps you, Stan. Please forgive me. Namaste. Of course, you know, all of you, that the antidote for all of this is self-awareness, is awakening, beginning to understand and be aware of who and what you really are and not give in to all of this biology. But who wants to do that? That takes time and effort. The next question comes from Trevor. He does not tell me where he lives. Without hate, we would be overcome by our enemies. Don't you think hate plays a grand part in our lifetime to protect us, Trevor? Trevor, you remind me of the guy in Poway. He used to watch Aspire. I insulted him so badly because he said, you know, you need fear. If you didn't have enough fear, you wouldn't know how to cross the street and things like that. And I was on a radio program and he asked me that question. And, you know, I said, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But that's the way we are. It's pretty damn dumb. And yours is right in there with it, Trevor. You're the reason why there's war and famine and poverty and all of that, because you're not going to look at things from the point of view of truth. You're going to look at it from your biology. When you and I get into our biology and we start living from our biological stuff, okay, our genetics and our DNA, we become animals, savage, ruthless animals. And nothing good comes out of that. You watch football or sports and you see this animal come out. And this is why, you know, this wrestling thing and this cage fighting thing and even football is very, very important to people. They make a life out of it. They bet on it. I can't believe all the stuff that, you know, they can conjure up to keep people hooked into football and wrestling and cage fighting 24/7. But it appeals to the nature of a person who is biologically predisposed to their DNA and their genetics, and all of us are. You know, the essence of a spiritual practice, to really be in an authentic spiritual practice, is to let the body be the body, but to transcend, to go beyond the mechanism of the body's survival needs and wants and desires, and not to become strategic in our living, but to become kind. Now, you can't do this without having the bigger picture. If I don't understand the bigger picture of my life, if I think that I'm born, I live, I die, and you're a YOLO, then you miss. You miss everything that this thing is all about. And there would be nothing I could say or do to help you understand all of that, because you would look at it from the point of view of pure survival. But when you start to sit back, and there comes a time, and I believe everybody's life, when the opportunity is there, whether or not anybody takes that opportunity is another thing. But there comes a time when you look at things from the point of view of, what is meaningful? Why am I here? Am I here just to live and die? What is the reason for my livingness? Is this all there is? And why would this be there? If this is all there is, why would this be all there is? Now, most people just get wrapped up in their family, so they don't have to think about these questions about how they live, the way they live, why they live. People don't want to hear that. They just want to keep busy surviving. They think if they keep busy surviving, that death won't knock on their door. But death knocks on everybody's door. Believe me, I work at hospice. I see it. I understand it. It is definitely an issue. And we're always trying to avoid death. So hate is a way of trying to avoid death. It is about saying, the highest purpose I'll ever have is to hate the wrong people, or the right people, I should say. I'm sorry. The people that most threaten our way of life, our whatever we think we have here that is so deeply important to our living. And if we live in that manner, if we live in that way, we miss the entire life experience. Until a person, Trevor, like yourself, begins to question how they survive, the way they survive, and why they survive, nothing is going to change in you. You will never seek the way, the truth, and the light in you. You'll never do it. You will only live according to whatever are the dictates of your fears in your body. And that's what most people do. They live according to the dictates of their human body. Whatever it is afraid of, whatever it wants, those are the things that constitute a person's lifetime. When you are no longer just interested in that anymore, when you start to understand that this body of ours is impermanent, and then you want to ask the question, what happens from there? Or why am I here? What dictates whatever in my life that brings me to this, that, and the other, draws circumstances, conditions to me? When you start to question all of that, that's when something meaningful begins to arise in you and me. And that's when we start our journey. One experience, I believe, this is just a Greg Penn thing. One experience, just one, where you and I are no longer living as we used to, in the confines of our physicality, our psychology, just one little tiny gap can do the trick. And all of a sudden, the hate-filled person, the person who's a hate monger, the person who loves hate campaigns, starts to question, what am I doing? Because you are not your biology. That is when the spiritual path begins. The moment a person sees this ever so slightly, the awakening begins to happen on its own. And we begin to mature and grow and expand. And we start becoming interested in what it means to transcend. To transcend hate and fear, the body, and all of its behaviors. And we start to listen to that sound of one hand clapping. All of a sudden, from out of nowhere and anywhere, we have changed. We have gone from that which is not to that which is. And we start to feel the presence of a power that lives within that generates only kindness and goodness in our life. There is a healing there. But If I use hate as an excuse for peace, if I use hate as an excuse for happiness, as a way of guarding myself, whatever it is you need to do or think you're doing, then, of course, all of that goes down the drain and you just become a part of the pedestrian mentality. You don't want to do that. Well, maybe you do. Trevor, what can I say? Oy vey, you're not going to get it. And you're going to go through some very harrowing experiences in your life. You really are. And those experiences won't be there as punishment, but they will be there to help you awaken if you can look at them from the correct point of view, which is that you are here first to learn that there is an awakening and a meaning that exceeds your desires, your ambition, and your pride. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from Nancy. She does not tell me where she lives either. I hate, and I know I do. It's my will and God's will that we hate evil. So isn't hate okay in certain circumstances, Nancy? Well, Nancy, you assume a lot about God, about yourself, about the whole kit and caboodle. You're just really, you know, this is what religion does. It really screws people up. It tells them there is this God, you know, who doesn't even, he makes up rules and doesn't abide by his own rules. Sounds like a politician to me, but there you are. I mean, your idea of God or what you think is God is nuts. It's schizophrenic, and I can't be a part of that, but maybe you can. You say you hate knowingly that it's God's will. Really, it's God's will? How do you know? Because some Bible tells you so, something in the Bible, that's what people will tell me. Their argument is, well, the Bible says so. Well, do you know who wrote the Bible? Do you know who interpreted it? Do you know who edited it? Do you know who even maybe published it? What do you know? What do I know about the Bible? It's filled with allegories and parables and all sorts of things that we just don't really relate to. It's an Eastern way of thinking that we reject because anything Eastern since 9/11 is horrible. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we're a prejudicial people. We don't understand our ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to all of this, but we make judgments on it. So now you have taken your state of hate and you have blamed it on God and made it sound moralistic, which is what most people do. You hate the people that should be hated or hate the things that should be hated because you think that's what God wants. God who? Are you hearing voices? Nancy, are you hearing voices? If you are, you need to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, not a minister or a priest. You need to get some medical help. These voices are telling you to hate. I have never once, not once, in my many years of being here on this planet, had a voice come to me and say, I should hate someone who has tried to hurt me or has hurt me. Never once. If I am going to hate someone, it'll be by my own hand and my own doing. It won't be because God told me to do it. So in my opinion, the worst thing any of us can do is blame God for our human impulses and the things that we think, say, and do that are very unkind. Jesus said it all. I mean, if you believe the Bible, here you go. God is love. So it's either love or it's not. If God is love, there can be no hate. But if you think about what you wrote to me here, it shows you a form of your mental illness, and you really need to go see someone and get that squared away. Thank you, Nancy. I'm sure you're pissed off at me, but yeah, please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. Whoa. Oh, is there any question as to why we are where we are in this lifetime, in this world? I'm out of here. Have a wonderful day. I hope you're brave enough to join me tomorrow. Please forgive me. I need it. Namaste.